recording?
Yes, it is.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of... Actually, no, this is bullshit.
Don't do that.
All right, yeah, so...
I guess I'll have to do, like, a recorded recap and let people know exactly, like, where they're coming into the story.
All right, so the story so far, in this bullshit we do on Sundays, maybe that's the name of the show.
Bullshit we do on Sundays, yes.
Our heroes found themselves in the town of Dorsten, I believe it was.
I believe so.
Why am I asking? I'm
the DM. I should
write.
Oh, we're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. All right. So they found themselves in a small farming village known as Dorsten in the southwestern part of the kingdom of Valthrin.
I would hope you'd remember.
Listen, I've got a lot of kingdoms.
What's this place I'm in?
We haven't played in a month. And they're all investigating rumors of people going missing. It's a small farming village carved out of some heavy, dense forested area. And people have been going to the forest lines and investigating strange occurrences in the forest and then not coming back. They've also lost livestock, so... some budding adventurers who happen to meet all each other in a tavern, as these things often happen, decided to go out and investigate the village where it all started.
Yeah.
After talking with the farmers, they were directed to the forest edge that was past a cornfield.
Burritos are key. Burritos and beer.
Trying to traverse through the cornfield, they encountered some... terrifying things. They were assaulted by...
everything.
Scarecrows that seemed to come alive and attack them on sight. And after defeating them, retreating back to the farmhouse and then going back out again, they were then accosted by living shadows, which they seemed to conquer all of these things. They got out to the cornfield and... or to the forest edge and where they encountered a... terrible, like, undead man in spiky armor who seemed to have been the reason all this stuff was happening. After a kind of a pitched battle, they defeated what they discovered was a wight. And,
darn honkies.
Darn honkies.
Them darn honkies. And, after defeating him and looting him, they discovered he was wearing a symbol symbol of Orcus around his neck. After some research, they discovered that he was a demon prince of
Wales.
Undead.
No.
Well, funnily enough, Wales as well. The demon prince of Wales, the Wales lair of the Abyss, who is undead, is his... kind of shtick. So they were like, alright, so we seem to have conquered this. So they get back to Dorsten and they have to go to the near town of Greensburg to kind of collect the bounty. So they go there. Help me out, guys.
Greensburg.
Yes, Greensburg.
They met up with the mayor.
Yes, that's right. They met up with the mayor.
What about the orcs?
Well, that was in Greensburg.
That was after?
Right, that's after. He's starting from Gale.
And once they get in Greensburg, they found out that several villages have actually been under attack and or destroyed by roving bands of orcs that I believe you encountered some of on the way to Greensburg.
Mm-hmm. That's what
I was So, because the guard was stretched thin, the captain of the guard, who happened to be the Baron's son, decided to give you guys a task to go investigate a town to the north that they hadn't heard from in some time. Now, when you got to Greensburg, you were also privy to a conversation between the Baron, the Baron's son, and the Baron's daughter.
If I could interrupt for just a second, there is one important plot point that's being left out here.
Which one?
And that is, before we got to Greensburg, we had a pitched battle with basically an entire platoon of orcs.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, orcs on the way up.
Yes. One of them, there were two Eyes of Brunch, which are the kind of shamanistic priests of the order.
Yes.
And one of them turned out to be some sort of shapeshifter and left, retreated from the battle after turning into a small boy.
Yes, that's right. You guys, actually, there was an ogre with that platoon of orcs.
Yes. There was an ogre.
Hell yeah.
And a chieftain. And
Pungy sticks for the win.
And you guys, with with the aid of a hold spell and some well-placed trips, managed to defeat the ogre and the entire platoon. And once the entire platoon and the ogre was defeated, there was one of the orcs left who seemed to be dressed in tribal garb, who then turned into a small boy, smiled at you, turned invisible, and left. And you guys were like, what?
This is cheating.
Acceptable! Anyway, you guys get to the city, you speak to the mayor, or the governor, rather, or the baron. Yeah, the baron. A conversation between him, his daughter, and his son being the captain of the guard. And they were discussing whether or not they wanted to go ahead with a autumnal festival that is tradition with them. The son was adamantly opposed because of all the, you know, orcs roving the countryside. He didn't think they should be focusing on having a festival while their land was being besieged. But the daughter said, well, that's exactly the time we need to have a festival because, you know, with all this darkness around, people need something to distract them, people need something to hope. Not everyone can be fighters. People need things to do, get their minds off of all the terribleness that is going on. And the Baron said he'd think on it and then dismissed them. You guys talked to the Baron's daughter, who then transferred you to the Baron's son, who was the captain of the guard, who decided to send you north. Scanton, yes. The village of Scanton. And where evidently all of this started. They hadn't heard from Scanton in some time. They needed to get a reconnaissance mission, so he sent you there. It was a long journey through some woods and up a cliff face to the plateau where Scanton resided, kind of like a farming plateau, because the area that you guys were in was kind of a low portion of the kingdom. It's kind of below sea level. So you guys get up on this plateau and you get to Scanton through some reconnaissance of a scrying orb that you guys had found, and the druid going to bird form found that there was a giant hole in the middle of Scanton and there were several orcs and things in there. It looked like this might have been a base of operations. Important to note that you guys also took three of the town's guard with you, or was it four? It was Winston, Sheldon, Leonard, Howard.
And Gil.
That's right, Gil. Yeah. You guys took five of the town guard with you once you found through the scrying orb that there were indeed orcs there. So,
proposers, Howard.
You guys devised a plan where the four of you would sneak around and you would use the town guard as a distraction at the front of the camp while you guys flanked from the rear. Poor Howard, who was a town guard but had been not very good at his job, apparently, did his best, and you guys managed to kill the orcs on top. And you guys went down into this hole where you encountered more orcs and some goblins and hobgoblins who had also sided with the orcs. And at the end of this tunnel, you guys came across kind of a monstrosity. It looks like somebody mixed demon blood with an orc. It was a terrifying orc with spikes all over its body, giant claws, tusks that were way longer and sharper than they needed to be, burning red eyes, and a long, wicked sword. Had another pitch battle with that after finding out that did a crap ton of damage, but you guys persevered. Unfortunately, Howard was lost in the tunnel to some orcs.
But he went out like a badass.
He did.
And you
he
guys didn't see it and didn't believe it. Because it was only me who was there. You're like, oh, man.
After the pitch battle, you guys did an investigation check out the room and discovered a little hidey hole that was sequestered away, covered up by some rocks. After you move the rocks, you discovered that there was a body in there. We pulled out the body and discovered that it was the body of the Baron's daughter that was kind of maimed a little bit. Looks like it had been gnawed upon, but the thing that struck you that it was actually a couple weeks old.
Yeah, and we'd just seen her.
And you had just seen her 3 days ago. So, with this new information, you guys decided to hightail it the fuck back to Greensburg, hopefully getting there, and you guys actually force-marched your way back to Greensburg, finding out that she had left the day before and was due to get there that morning, and because you guys force-marched, you got there just before her. You brought the body back to the Baron, Baron's son, who's like, huh, that's my sister's body, and my father has been locked in his room with my younger brother. Oh, dear God. So you guys, after he discovered that, he left to see his father's room and discovered his father and younger brother had been...
quite murdered.
Quite murdered, yes. With extreme prejudice, murdered. And
blood
in,
everywhere.
In rage and sorrow, everywhere. He decided to button up the town and not let his quote-unquote sister back in. And to which, when she approached with a wagon of supplies, quote-unquote, that she decided to bring, you guys revealed to her that you knew who she was, or you knew she wasn't who she said she was, at least, and she decided to turn around with her cadre of orcs after she revealed that they were, in fact, orcs, and,
not
you know,
supplies.
Not supplies. And not, she tried to escape, but the fighter of the group, and I believe the monk of the group, decided to jump down the wall after her.
And she proceeded to throw a horse at him.
And, yeah, her horse, as she was trying to get away, was wounded and died, thanks to a couple well-placed shots by you guys. And it then fell on her, and then you saw this lithe little maybe 100-pound soaking wet woman throw this full-size horse with one arm halfway across the road. And that's odd. Managing to dodge the wayward horse, you guys tried to go and do battle with her. She took a couple hits that should have been lethal, but
didn't
she
care.
Seemed to shrug off. And then she turned invisible and ran away. Some of the orcs were killed that she brought. Most of them got away. So, basically it came to, there was a giant battle in which she brought the majority of the host of orcs she had left against Greensburg. You guys held them off at the gates. There were ogres, hobgoblins, goblins, orcs. This was a sizable force.
Trojan army canceled.
The doors were battered in by a wayward ogre, and then, while you guys were fighting at the door, the Baron's daughter materialized behind you, and you guys started to battle with her, to which she revealed her true form to be an Oni, or Ogre Mage. So she grew in size about three times her normal size. She had blue skin, green eyes, crazy claws, a wicked, toothy, fangy grin smile, and she was extremely large and powerful, not to mention had some magic abilities. Another pitched battle with her where she wielded a rather large wicked glaive against you and some magic that included Cone of Cold.
Which took me out.
Which, yeah, was unfortunate, but thankfully with the help of Bahamut, the cleric.
And I then proceeded to crit the living fuck out of her with a witch bolt and go all Sith Lord on her.
Yes, yes, you guys had some good rolls, the dice were with you, and you guys managed to defeat her.
However, Scrying Orb missing.
Scrying Orb was missing.
Framed as broken.
Framed as broken, but discovered not truly broken and missing. But the new Baron of Greensburg thanked you all for your help. And after a little talking, you guys decided that you all worked well together and maybe were interested in forming a mercenary company. So, in order to do that, you guys had to go to one of the main towns. You had a choice of either Cavill's Run or Umber, and you decided that since Umber you could ride a boat to, you decided to go to that. On the way to Umber, you know, not usually a dangerous river trip, but somehow more dangerous lately, you encountered some
Kuatoa,
some fish people, some tribal fish people who attacked. And one of them happened to be a pretty decent spellcaster. And that was a rather hard battle. Thank goodness you were there, or that poor ferryman and his son would have been murdered the fuck out of.
Yeah, I got, like, Mace of Lightning or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's turned out to be pretty, pretty terrible. But managed to persevere against my random encounter dice and get all the way to Umber. Umber being a... interesting town. The main thing of Umber was a temple to the goddess of the sea, who happens to be an evil goddess, Umberlee.
But still respected by even good characters because she is a vengeful goddess.
Don't piss her off. Yeah.
Yes. So the main thing in the town being this large temple. The large temple who also doubled as the port authority. And through some investigation checks, you guys have found out that there's not only is there, you know, a large clergy to Umber here, well, large in comparison to the town. I mean, all the towns outside the major city are, they're not city size, they're town size. They're maybe 500 people max in this town.
Right, I mean, you just got a ton of sailors and other
things. Yeah, but there's lots of, it's a port city, lots of people in and out, transient people. You know, there's a small mercantile district, most of which being merchant carts and merchant caravans that are just staying there, decided to sell some wares. You did find one,
like a general store.
General store.
I've got too many notes.
We were able to kind of pick up some provisions and some basic
What was the general
tools and all that.
You guys have notes, don't you?
Unfortunately, I did not take notes on that.
I wrote down the bounties.
Yeah, I did.
As did I. Carwins.
Carwins?
I'll ride the roller coaster.
Not Carowins. Carwins.
Is there a line?
You know what, Carwins, sure.
I still have to cut the line
2 hours.
2 hours, yes. You don't have express pass, I'm sorry.
But
it was run by, I believe it was a half elf.
Yeah.
The shop was named, and you guys found that you could register as a mercenary company at the Port Authority at the Temple of Umberlee. A very not grandiose, but well-made and well-kept temple that has lots of running water, kind of driftwood, shells, pearls, things like that. The beauty of the sea is really taken here. You guys saw the large, I'd say statue, but it's made of wood. Large,
it's like a figurehead on a boat.
It's like a figurehead on a boat. It was made, depicts the goddess Umberlee with two waves crashing behind her. She had, like, an octopus on one like shoulder, and she had a shark swimming around her feet, and she was hauntingly beautiful. You guys also saw a lot of the clergy of these people who were the most notable of which were the women, who were always very well guarded, and they were also hauntingly beautiful, like every single woman. Either way, you guys went to the place to register as a mercenary company so you guys could take bounties legally from the guilds. And you encountered a dwarven, I guess, DMV attendant who gave you all the paperwork you needed.
She was way nicer than any DMV attendant I have ever met in my life.
Hey,
was she hitting on her too? She was a dwarf.
I was, and she politely shut me down.
Right. Politely. She sees a lot of people in here. She gave you the paperwork, and you guys came up, you guys could come up with a name. You needed 4 founding members to make a mercenary company, and you guys decided, since your names are Hafthor, Azim, Nadar, and Dravinia, that spelled out hand. So you guys decided to go with the mercenary company Hand of Order, which I'm sure the local thieves guild called the Tumblers is real happy to hear about.
Right. We made friends there.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they've already stolen from us, so like the first one that tries that I catch pickpocketing me is a dead man.
Apart from the temple, the other power base in the city you guys have found out are a thieves guild called the Tumblers. That's really all you found out about them yet. There's also another mercenary guild in town called the Carvers. You guys actually went and said hi to them after you made yourselves all official. you didn't want to, you know, step on any toes. You just wanted to introduce yourselves, be like, hey, we're here. We're not trying to cut in on your turf. We're just trying to make some money while we're here.
Actually, seem like pretty nice guys.
Yeah, they seem decent. They seem to not care too much. And, you know, whoever gets to the bounty board first, you know, that's theirs. They didn't seem too terribly displeased with you.
They actually posted a bounty that we may be...
Yes, they did post a bounty. There were several bounties. One of which caught your eye, posted by the Carvers, was a bounty to kill a hill giant. And I believe you guys were getting ready to go kill said hill giant when last we left.
No, we were actually coming back from a different bounty, where we had put up by the Horseman's Guild.
Yep.
The bridles.
Right. Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
A missing horse breeder, who we went and tracked down his last known location, found disturbed earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that whatever killed him was probably not humanoid in any way whatsoever. So we found a nice little valley, or like a lime sink kind of area, and we went out in the middle of it, and I lured it out with some Eldritch Blasts, and it turned out to be a bullet.
That you guys had another pitched battle with, and unfortunately you were the sufferer of its bite attack, and I rolled really high on.
Hey, I'm the meat shield, that's my job. And I think I did pretty well at that.
You did do pretty well. You guys managed to kill it after you guys saved him, because he did go unconscious during the battle, because I did like 36 damage to you in a single bite.
Yeah, we did a lot more to it. We did a lot more to him than he, you know, before he actually
got
to us.
That's true. You guys...
we wrecked him.
You did. You guys did like half his hit points before he even got to you, so, which is also what happened with the Cyclops and the Goblin campaign.
Good plan.
Yeah, it was a good plan. When the dice are on your side and you use proper tactics, things can be a lot easier. But yes, you had just come back from that bounty, and I believe you guys hadn't got back to town yet, right?
I think we were just getting back, and there were actually, I think, three other bounties posted that we were looking at as well.
Uh-huh. So here's what we'll do. We'll pick up as you guys are coming back into town from defeating the bullet.
Yes. Well, I'm headed straight for Thunder Brews, which is the Dwarven craft beer tap house.
Yes, Dwarven craft beer tap house.
And I've kind of befriended the owner there. He's a nice dude.
Okay. So,
on our way back, I'd like to remind you guys about the conversation that I overheard when we were in the Sea Bitches.
Umberly?
No.
Oh, yes.
The name of the tavern was
the
Sea Tavern.
Sea Bitches
Favor.
Which I was very uncomfortable in because I know not to
That was the
know,
tavern that
the gods.
Carvers
and also,
made
she doesn't favor anybody.
Right.
So yeah.
What is this even about?
Kind of the joke.
Exactly.
So we went in there and tried to kind of meet the Carvers, and they were saying that that they were pissed off because they kept missing, or they kept dying, or failing in killing the hill giant, I believe.
Yeah, everybody that's gone to kill the hill giant has gotten brutally killed.
Exactly. So they were saying that they didn't want to do it anymore, which is why they posted it. And I guess they were supposed to be the ones who did that, or fulfilled that bounty. So my suggestion is that we don't do that one first.
Take care of some of these other ones first.
Yeah.
Right, because we don't want to step on toes since we're brand new. We don't want to paint a target on our back.
And also, everyone's getting wrecked by this thing. We may not think we can just take it out
exactly.
of hand.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I'd like to just reiterate that.
Plus, there's another bounty worth 200 if we can manage to bring the guy back alive.
Well, it's not looking promising, but I'd say we give it a try.
Yeah, we thought we were going to bring that other guy back alive, and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, but this guy is wanted. He's not missing.
He's not missing.
He's worth money dead, too. He's just worth more money alive.
Okay.
Carl the Claw.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted for killing a guard.
Yeah, that was actually posted by the governor, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, let's make friends with the governor. I think that sounds like a great idea.
But they take a 20% fee, because it's the government.
Yep.
So, true. Not quite as lucrative as the giant, maybe, but probably less deadly.
Still, though, 20% of 200 gold still leaves a decent amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to complain.
And, hey, if we get the favor of a baron...
Right.
And the governor?
There's something
that
to be
would
said
not
for that
be
too.
a bad thing to be.
We have been ingratiating ourselves with local government everywhere we go, yes. So no reason to stop now.
Of course, so much more the reason for the tumblers to slit our throats in the night, but oh well.
They don't need to know with whom we have favor.
This is why we keep watch.
This is true. So, as we wait for our DM to return, I got something I need to take care of. But I'll meet you guys back at the Kraken's pantry.
One of us must go and turn in this bounty, yes?
Well, we're kind of getting back after dark, I believe. I think
what time is it?
Let's see.
We're returning like same day. It's I think you said we're getting back after sunset. So
yeah, the stable, the farm, the farmland where they raised the horses wasn't too far away. Okay. So you guys probably had to sleep on the road, but you guys are probably getting mid morning next day because I mean you probably had to rest after that battle with the bullet.
Okay.
So you guys are back at full hit points, I'm assuming.
I like your assumptions.
Well, I can go and turn in the bounty.
I think the two of us together can turn that in. Now that I've gotten well rested.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe, like I said, I'll go see what the scuttlebutt is at the bar and see. I don't know if maybe you could kind of keep your ear to the ground, see if you pick up any rumor mongering.
I will walk amongst the people and see what they have to say.
Okay, splitting the party. Yay me.
Like three ways.
Good luck. All right, we'll start with you two first. You guys head to the Temple of Umberley.
Before I go.
Before you go.
I get another little satchel with a little bit of gold or a little bit of copper. Put it in a... Try to tuck it away. Hide it.
Purse.
Thank you for reminding me of the clandestineness of the town.
Yeah. And I'm also, like, I've now gotten into the habit of, like, keeping, like, any gold that I have near the grossest parts of my body.
Right, like...
So, like...
My coin pouch is literally
so
tied to my coin pouch.
Yeah. We are treating this like we are in Detroit or Baltimore, yes.
High or low?
Oakland.
High.
You're fine. Okay.
Or does it appear that I'm fine?
So, I don't know. Make a perception check.
I
19 to hide my purse about my person.
Okay.
That's nice. You said a perception check?
Shit. Yeah. And make a stealth check if you want to hide your purse.
Perception is going to be 25.
Okay, cool. Are you going to stealthily hide your actual purse amongst yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Roll a stealth check now.
It's betwixt my nethers.
Betwixt your nethers. Well, roll with advantage then.
See how far up there you could get.
Right, just
I had nothing twixt my nethers. Weren't run on batteries.
Well, that's a
oh shit.
That's a natural 20.
Okay,
so
you are strangely all of a sudden combining with your goblin character.
Things Ooh. Just go in here all the time.
Portal to the abyss. Didn't we decide that?
I think it was mine.
All right, so.
It's like Bilquis on American Gods.
I haven't watched it yet. It's good.
Yeah,
I
read the books.
It's awesome.
I want to read the books before I watch the show.
Expanding on a lot of minor characters and shit, which excites me.
All right, so
16 perception check.
All right,
it's twixt your nethers.
You find your coin purses in the same place that you sequestered them.
Sequestered them.
No, I have two. I have my actual one, and then I have, like, a
decoy. Well, the one that's...
Decoy.
The decoy one is still there.
Okay, fantastic. Mm. So, we go up the stairs.
You guys go in the front door, which, as you recall, from the top of this, like, three-story temple, there is a waterfall that then hits kind of a pointed roof right above the door. That it guides the waterfall around and down to... Basically, you have to cross a bridge over a moat to get into the temple, and the water goes down into the moat and filters in. Again, the smells of salt, sea salt and brine and, you know, just the freshness of the sea, but yet the kind of moldy smell of long, damp wood. You also smell many incenses, and there are always the two guards sitting there. One of them is today. One of them is a tattooed and scarred half-orc who's sitting there in the traditional garb. You know, the leathers looks like they've been made of, like, the skin of maybe a shark and, you know, a large conch shell that's got some sharpened, you know, several of the spikes have been sharpened on it on one side. And the other one is an interesting man, and not really a man. Give me a moment.
It's a man!
Oh! Shit, how did Mickey Mouse get here?
It is a medium humanoid. It's got two black eyes set in a head of green, fishy-scaled skin. A large mouth just filled with razor-sharp fangs. Two fins coming off the side and one going down the back of the neck. It's got the same garb and a trident of sorts, but it's more like a large piece of sharpened driftwood where one, if this like was the thing, one of the tridents came off here and the other one came off here.
Please tell me when he talks, he sounds like...
No, he's actually about the size of a medium creature. He's about the height of a human, if not a little taller. He's very well muscled.
Is it one of the fish people that we fought?
No, that was a Kuotoa. They were about the size of a dwarf. This is stands as taller, if not taller than a man.
Do they look semi-related?
So was it
to
a
the
Sahagwin?
It's for
metagame purposes.
For metagame purposes, it is a Sahagwin.
Whoa, yes.
Just so
this
I know,
is
what
it looks
visualizing.
Yeah, he's pretty sweet looking.
Fucking jacked, yeah.
Ugh.
And he is wearing similar armor to the half-orc, except it almost looks like in a lot of there's like silver filigree in a lot of the grooves and the shells. There's more pearls on him.
So he looks a little more decorated.
He is a bit more decorated. He's just sitting there, kind of
fucking guard captain.
Why did you bring me here?
In other words, don't fuck up in
solid. Literally come from the desert. This is the most horrifying thing possible.
Yeah,
everything about this is bad.
Yep.
Hey, you wouldn't.
I'm really glad I didn't go with you guys.
He's just like standing there,
right?
He looks like just be guarding the entrance,
going back to
kind of just looking around.
That's bullshit.
He's not giving orders or anything. He's just guarding.
As we walk in, I look at both of the guards, give them a slight nod, and then continue up the stairwell.
They don't seem to pay you any mind.
Super fine.
All right, you guys go in. Of course, there's the main foyer with the giant wood carving of Umberlee with the two waves behind her, and you know, there seems to have been fresh incense put out, some fresh seaweed hung from places, and maybe a few people seem to come here and maybe leave bits and baubles at the bottom of this carving. So
like an altar.
Yeah, there's you find bits of coin and fruit and
free loot.
No.
Loot the temple.
There are of course many of the acolytes wandering about, so you're certainly welcome to try. But you guys
distraction for me.
Remember where the guild registrar is, and you're thinking that maybe that's where you would turn this bounty in.
Right.
So you go there, and there's the same dwarven woman. And
is there a line today?
There is. There are two people in front. Looks like a man with a hood. He's got a hood up and a long cloak, kind of like a grayish cloak.
I attacked the man with
going
the
behind him.
Stop.
And he's got his hood up, and he seems to be talking with the woman. And there is he seems to be talking with the female dwarf. And there is next to him is a female of some kind. She's got kind of like knotted braided hair that's braided from the nape of the neck and goes kind of halfway down her back. The sides of her head are shaved. Her hair is blonde. And you can see two on the side of her head, since, you know, her hair is pulled back, that her ears are slightly pointed.
As if she's an elf or a half-elf?
They are more along the lines of half-elf.
Okay.
And she is wearing pretty decent,
wicked in my blood.
Like, half-plate armor. And she's got a large sword on her back, along with some bags.
I'm going to take that back.
And, large sword on her back that's over top of a traveler's cloak, and she's got a couple satchels to her side, and she's just kind of waiting there while her brother seems to be whisperedly talking with them.
You said her brother?
Yeah, or sorry, the other man. Seems to be whisperedly talking with the thing. They see you guys come in, and then the man stops talking immediately. He turns around to see you, and you guys can see a kind of a fair face. You can see just past his hood, he also has slightly pointed ears, and he looks a lot like the woman, the half-elf woman in half-plate. Almost like they might be related. And he's like, alright, fine, we'll come back later. Stupid, lousy guild rules. Anyway, excuse us. It's all right, the woman pipes up and says, it's all right, Dylan, we'll figure it out. Yeah, it's all right. And they kind of just walk past you guys.
Bahamut's blessings to you.
The woman kind of looks at you and she turns around and make a perception check.
I did terrible.
Can I make a perception check as
sure.
well?
Do more better.
God bless it, it's not better.
Get good, noob.
Seriously.
19 perception.
11.
Okay. Yeah, it's easy enough. It's 10 or better. It's seems to be wearing a holy symbol on her, or a symbol on her thing, and if you'd like to identify it, you can certainly roll a religion check.
I was about to say, can I roll an
You can, you're just not for, you can just, you're not protect, you're not,
That's wrong.
Particularly
good. You're not proficient, so you can still roll it.
12.
That's a 9.
A 9. You're not sure what it is.
Does it look familiar?
But
you can't place it?
It's on the tip of your tongue, but you can't. It is a gauntlet with an eye in the gauntlet, and you know immediately who that is.
That's Helm.
And she's like, Helm ever watch over you.
And you.
Come on, brother. And he's like, oh yeah, just go and tell everybody I'm your brother, why not? Shut up. And they walk past the guys.
Well, the DM's already spoiled it.
Right. Voice in the sky ruined it.
Voice in the sky keeps on talking.
And once she says, Helm watch over you, you written it.
Ah, it was Helm. Damn it.
Ah, hello again. Well, you seem to be in one piece. That's good news, though. Aren't there more of you?
Yes.
He was eaten.
Roll a deception check.
He was.
With disadvantage, because this isn't your first language.
Can I just...
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. Deception, that would be 7.
Killed strong. what's he know?
He's speaking of the bounty that we're here for to turn in. We turn that in with you, or...
I can take it, yes. I'll get it into the right hands.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, several guilds post these bounties and you know all that. But I'm the guild registrar, so I know who to take it to. I can see that you paid.
Fantastic.
Is it complete?
Yes, it is complete, and that's what he meant. Yes, we have this...
As you guys recall, the woman, the man's wife, signed off on the bounty for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, his wife signed off at the bottom.
She checks through some records, compares the signature.
And that's what he meant by he got eaten.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Ah, poor woman. Well, this seems to be legitimate. If you guys can remind me how much the bounty was.
It was a 50 gold. I had 5% guild cut for 47 golds, 5 silver, or 47 gold, 1 electrum if you want to mess with us.
I heard electrum's popular.
In this kingdom, world, whatever it is.
Fucking Electrum.
You mean fucking copper.
Right.
Okay.
Alright, well, here you go. And she hands a large sack to you.
Well, not to you.
That's 95 Electrum.
Clink. Did Rekt. She seriously give us 95 Electrum?
Wrecked. Yep.
Fan motherfucking
47 gold, 1 Electrum.
Guess how much Electrum that is.
You had to say something.
There you go. That'd be 95 Electrum after the cut, of course. And we do appreciate your business. I'm glad that you're all alive.
I will never complain again.
We do have a...
makes it a lot easier to divide, actually, though.
Yeah. Oh, like, I'll always know what bothers you.
It's like a guild bank, right? We have a guild bank.
It's up to you whether you take up a collection.
We've been putting everything in the bag of holding, I think, at this point.
I know, but I'm just saying, like...
Just probably divide that up.
I've been keeping a party universe, for lack of a better term, in this world, on this continent, I know that there are guild things. Is there, like, a guild bank where we can put in, say, 95 Electra?
There's a money exchange here,
And does it...
As you're ungilded, it would cost you...
We are gilded now.
No, we're in a company. It's a lot harder to become a guild, dear.
Okay, so...
First of all, you need 12 standing members, and... recommendations from several people of import.
Very,
one moment,
very well.
I will go get a duplication
spell. Mirror image.
We're here.
Simulacrum.
I look about. Do I see any people?
You guys are the only ones in this office. At the
okay, I try to tuck.
You just gonna go recruiting already?
I try to tuck the Electrum. She literally said, "Tunk, here's some money." So yeah. I'm trying to hide it so that it doesn't get lifted on my way out.
Well, if you keep it in your hand, it'll be hard to steal.
Unless somebody comes by, knocks it out, my hand hits the ground, and they're gone.
That's a little conspicuous,
some kind of
though.
But still, some kind of like street urchin can do that easy. So,
good luck, tucking away 95 Electrum pieces.
Well,
fucker.
Carrying the bag of holding.
Yeah, he does have the bag of holding. You can put it in the bag of holding, and he can tuck the bag of holding. All right,
so in that case, I'll give it to him. Right. But if your bag of holding gets lifted, I swear by all the deities.
But would you like to exchange? I can do that as well.
Does it cost anything?
5%.
Of course.
Yeah, I use facilities.
Now, making me do math, god damn it. Okay,
I think we'll do this for now.
Alright. Well, if you all join a guild and you bring your guild crest and papers, it's free charge.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much for helping.
If the guild remains in good standing, that is.
Oh, of course.
That's where I'm at. There, I can't ask.
No, you can't.
103 Electrum pieces.
Is that in the guild fund?
Yep.
Huzzah.
Yes.
Okay. So, I bid her a good day.
All right. Well,
good day.
Good day to you, and good luck with your common. It's coming along.
It's coming along
nicely.
Roll an inside check if you'd like.
I probably believe him. Actually, my insight's good.
You're a cleric. It should be.
You are adequate.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Wait, do I have to do like a...
Oh, and John, can I offer something I thought of that would be pretty funny? It's a bit of like something you should do as you're role-playing because you're this isn't your first language.
What's that?
You should use the wrong word occasionally.
Well...
Like, pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Okay. I'll start working that in.
Okay, because someone else did it the other day, I thought it was hilarious.
24?
Mm-hmm. She's lying through her teeth. It's coming along nicely.
It was a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Was there an implied, like, bless your heart at the end of that?
Good day! And she kind of shoos you out of her office.
So, I have, I make, Sabrina and I go over to a corner where there's not a lot of people, and I'm telling her to help me with my armor so that I can pull it off, and inside the plate, my plate, is where I'm keeping this bag of holding.
That takes you the better part of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, since he's in the bathroom, we'll go to Thunder Bruce.
All right.
All right, you go in, and they seem to be busy today. It looks like a larger ship came in, so mm-hmm. there's plenty of sailors, a few dwarven sailors, and there seems to be a couple half-orcs, there's even a dragonborn, there's mostly human, but there's a few dwarves, there's even a gnome.
Cool.
And,
damn gnomes.
It's interesting, this gnome looks interesting,
all gnomes look interesting.
Actually, just roll a perception check real quick.
Perception check.
Where is this happening?
Thunderbrews.
Which we didn't go, right?
He said you guys went in the corner and, like, took off his breastplate and put the bag of holding in there, and then your breastplate is really uncomfortable right now. It's sticking further, a lot larger, because that's honestly not something you can do. This is like a large bag. So it's going to be awkward.
But it's in the bag of holding. It's not like the bag of holding.
No, the bag of holding is a large bag.
But it does always look empty, so it'll squash flat. So.
I suppose.
As flat as it can. 17 perception.
It just looks like I've stuffed.
Among the obvious sailor people having a good time in here, you see Thunder Brew up there, you know, just serving out drinks as he usually does. And in the corner, you see something odd for a tavern. Mm-hmm. You see a gnome. Salt and pepper hair all over his body. It's like really frizzy and it sticks out to here and it comes all around. And he's got a giant bushy beard and it comes down to here. He mm-hmm. looks pretty old. He's got a stack of books on his table, a mug, some papers, and some crumbs are all in his beard. Mm-hmm. He's got gray robes with a green like cloak on his back, several things like pouches and satchels and little scroll cases hanging off of him. He's got a wooden staff lying up against the table, and he seems to be reading and like mindlessly eating, and there's a candle that he's lit at his table.
Yep. Is he doing like this occasionally, like pointing up with his left hand? Is he
No, actually. He's just he's just looked like he's enthralled in this book.
I was only asking because coming from a society where magic is like pervasive in mm-hmm. everything we do, this screams wizard to me.
The scroll cases kind of give it away for you.
Yeah.
They could be maps, but scroll case.
Hey, I've kept both in both. So, I mean, So, is there like a, preferably like an empty seat at the bar, like next to like Thunderbrew's serving station?
The serving station is kind of like back. There's a window.
Well, where like the bulk of like him like putting stuff out and where he seems to be having conversation and things like that. If not,
probably towards the right side of the bar, if any, because he's moving back and forth.
I just really just want to be close enough that I can be inconspicuous, but just kind of listen to Thunderbrew. All
right. Well, you managed to find a seat.
Yeah. Not necessarily to eavesdrop, but mm-hmm. I want to. After what he told me the last time I was there, that the tumblers may be kind of on the lookout for me at my brother's behest.
Yeah.
I've been doing some thinking on the road and thinking maybe I need to make some changes to be a little bit less conspicuous. So I would like to listen to Thunderbrew and maybe some of the other dwarves talking and start trying to pick up their accent so I can hide my actual native accent.
Oh, great. I have a dragonborn who can barely speak common and a German dwarf who's going to do a bastardized Scottish accent for a while until he gets good at it.
Hey, I mean, I've got a high intelligence. I might pick this up really quickly.
I know, but it's going to be funny a little bit. Accents are kind of hard. They're easy to pick up, but they're hard to be natural at.
Yeah.
It takes practice to be natural at them. You're thinking you can do it, and of course you're thinking you can do it because you came in here to try to achieve it. But
I'm giving myself study material more than anything because I'll go back to my room later on tonight and start like mm-hmm. practicing.
That's what you'll do. And you sit there. It's easy enough. He's talking to a lot of people. He happens to see you. He's like, Hafthor.
Ah, Hafthor! Ah, my friend, how you doing? Can I get you something?
Something to wake me up.
Something to wake you up?
I still look kind of beat to shit after.
Whew. Had a bit of an adventure there, have you?
Let me show you something. Got them in my bag. Uh-huh. I pull out one of the chitin plates that we took off the bullet. What does that look like to you?
He looks at the chitin plate, looks at the dents in your armor, looks back to the chitin plate. Looks like you're lucky to be alive, lad.
Yeah.
Well done.
Got a couple of good pieces off of him, and unfortunately the gentleman we were looking for didn't make it.
Well, of course he didn't. You're lucky you did.
Yeah, well, he took me down briefly, but thankfully our dragonborn cleric managed to wake me back up, and we are all good.
It's nice to have one of those around, isn't it?
He's a strange boy, but he does his job well.
All right, well, let me know if I can do anything.
Yeah, I'll just kind of needed some time in my own head for a little while, you know.
I got it. Well, tell you what. He puts a thing of Thunder Brew Ale in front of me and says, first round's on me. Walks down.
I mean, I'm going to sip it. I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to down it. Oh, but before he leaves, I asked him, do you have any dinner trays available?
Hey, yeah.
Well, give me some mutton and vegetables if you...
1 second. Jesse! How special! She's like, all right. It'll be right out.
You're a good man, Thunderbrew.
Hey, you too. And anyway, you sit there and listen to him. Your food is brought to you.
Yep.
Sipping on your Thunderbrew ale. It's hard to sip because, God, it's good.
Yeah.
But
I know, and I don't want to end up like
persnickin'.
Yeah, I want to be able to still be perceptive when
Which
I leave this night
about you
because I'm probably going to be here a little bit late, and I want to make sure. I want to kind of like I said, listen into Thunderbrew, listen to maybe the other dwarves that are there. And
go ahead and make me 3 intelligence checks.
3 int checks. Okay. That's a 6.
All right. At first, it's... I don't know. There's just something about it. It's the way they enunciate is hard to pick up.
It's 10.
Okay. You kind of get 1 or 2 words. You have a feeling it's going to take a while.
Yeah, 6. It's going to take...
It's going to take a while.
This is going to be become kind of my routine.
You spend, like, most of the night there, and you're starting to pick it up a little bit. This is, like, straight-up Antonio Banderas, like...
Yes.
I listened! Fucking 13th warrior up in here.
I've got also an ulterior motive that will, you know...
Okay.
I'll make clear once he starts to... Once the rest of the rabble clear out.
Alright, and Azeem, I'm going to have him just do an investigation check once they get in town.
But while I'm also, you know, listening to Thunderbrew, I'm watching the mage in the corner. Just kind
he
of observing.
He sits there all night, and it's kind of funny. He's reading this book, and then every once in a while he'll take out a scroll, make a couple of notations. It looks like he might be researching something. And he sits there every once in a while, he'll take a sip, and you can tell the way he moves, he seems like not a very physical being. He's, you know, it looks like his age is catching up with him a little bit. And he's kind of oblivious to all the crumbs in his beard, and looks like he's completely focused on what he's researching.
He's got bigger matters on his mind.
And every once in a while you see that he actually kind of nods off. Like, one time you look over there, and he's got the quill in his hand writing, and his head's kind of, like, hanging down, and you can see his eyes are closed. He's got a pair of spectacles on, and, like, 2 little beady eyes behind the glasses. You can see his eyes closed one time. And I'm breathing heavily, and somebody goes, nah! And he barks up, shakes off, and keeps writing as if he hadn't missed a beat.
I kind of, when Thunderbrew gets kind of a moment when things kind of calm down for, it, I know, rare moments for him, but I kind of say, hey, what's that guy's story?
Hey, can you be more specific?
I point out the gnome in the corner.
What, Bergen?
Yeah.
He's a... Oh, I believe he's in town to... I think he's part of the... one of those knowledgeable guilds. He's in the Wayfarers or the Scholars Guild.
Hmm.
He's in town to... for some kind of bounty of some kind.
Yeah. Wiggly fingers?
I think so.
He'd say he has his tricks, I believe is what he likes to say. He's been a good customer of mine. Every time he's through Umber, he always stops by and... don't underestimate him, lad. He can probably drink you under a table.
Maybe. But, you know, I think I might go introduce myself. And I kind of just lift up my hands.
He's a good sort.
And I, you know...
Don't scare him. He's getting...
Oh, no. I've got... I don't think Thunderbrew knows that I can cast. So I just kind of take... You know, I got my firebolt. So I just produce, like, a little flicker of flame and, like, dance it over my knuckles like a coin being flipped.
Fire.
Just give him a wink.
Well, that explains that. It's funny. Right in this time, you've been keeping your ear to the grindstone, and you have heard of a couple newcomers to the town. This is Azim. Because make an investigation check really quick. I shouldn't just give you information without you earning it.
But it's free.
No. Oh.
There's new arrivals every damn day.
I have 18.
A couple new arrivals that you have heard about. It appears to be a brother and a sister.
Okay. I've heard of them. I mean, not really, but... out of the
game. And, apparently, the sister, who happens to be a paladin of Helm, is in town asking the strangest vague questions, like... have you seen it? Or
I don't
have you seen anything
armor,
strange?
But if you want to see it.
Have you seen anything strange, or has anyone disappeared? Or just the vaguest questions that really... she won't get any more specific from that.
Interesting.
And about this time, you wander into Thunderbrews, because it's the only tavern you haven't checked. And you see Hathor, and he's walking over to a table that houses a... it's a... there's a small gnome, or at least you think it's a gnome. It's hard to tell, because he's a mass of salt and pepper gray hair that's like out to here, with a beard that's like down to here. He's eating with crumbs in it. He has a stack of books and a candle on his table, sipping on some ale. There's a wooden staff against the table, and he has
Jerry Garcia is in this bar.
Yes, yes, yes. Jerry Garcia.
He's 3 feet tall.
Yes, he's kind of portly, and he's wearing a gray robe with like a green cloak on his back.
He ate too much Jerry Garcia ice cream.
Hey, I love it. Yeah, he's like a gnome portly Jerry Garcia, kind of.
Okay.
And he's got beady little glasses on, and beady little eyes behind his glasses. And Hathor happens to be walking across the table. Are you trying to make yourself stealthy?
How busy is it in here?
Very.
Well, then, yeah, I'll try to be unnoticed. Then just all right, see if roll I can get a stealth check. To,
over here.
You can roll a perception check against his stealth check.
Without...
so 19.
It's a 19.
I guess then you...
I think he wins on a tie.
Yeah. You happen to see your friend Azim step into the bar, although... you just barely see him. You see, like, his cloak as he ducks behind someone else.
I kind of meet eyes with him, and I just kind of, like...
yeah, it's...
over here.
Okay, you barely, like... you thought you met his eyes, but he stepped behind... it's like, you met his eyes for a second as he stepped behind. And... but you got the message.
Okay.
Puppy.
I figured he would.
I'm gonna exercise.
So...
he's making nose work.
I approach the table, and I just kind of quietly say, excuse me.
The gnome continues to scratch something down and doesn't seem to pay you any mind.
Pardon me, brother. Excuse me. I kind of knock on the table.
Ah! What? What?
It's alright. Just was wondering if I might be able to join you, if that's alright.
What?
I was wondering if I might be able to join you.
Why didn't you just say so?
I did.
Sit down!